morning. It is time to get up with a big statement from the big man. We'll explain why last night might have changed everything in the NBA's East. Meanwhile, no more joshing around. It's all on Allen in Buffalo. Our crew will tell you why the Bills may actually have just gotten better. And then tonight is the night. A star-studded celebration of a Final Four. We'll be there live on the biggest day this sport has ever seen. All that and a whole lot more as we get up with you and start the clock. We are 11 hours and counting from tip-off in Cleveland. Game 1, NC State and South Carolina. Game 2, UConn and Iowa will take you live to Cleveland, where our crew is standing by in just a moment. Meanwhile, welcome to the studio. Hello, everybody. Let's get up. Here we go. Allen is here. Graziano is here. Did I miss a meeting? We're wearing ties today. What are we doing here, gentlemen? I did not see this coming.
Natalie dressed as always.
They look very nice. Easy classing the place up. I had to match it.
And that's not all. We got a full squad put together today. Take a look at who's standing by ready. Drea and Cheney are ready in Cleveland. Dominique is back and better than ever. Mike T's making deals. But we start with the big NBA game last night. Allen, Joel Embiid, Sixers and Heat. Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey played in a game together for Philly for the first time since January 25th. How did it look?
They looked like the top scoring duo in the NBA, or at least one of them, as Maxey really feeds so well off Embiid. And Embiid, if the game is easier for him by how fast Tyrese Maxey plays. And speed was important in this game because Joel got tired again late, but it didn't matter.
Look at him knocking down a three. Embiid and Maxey scoring or assisting on 55 first half points. Sixers an 8-point lead. But fourth quarter, Miami's got a 2-point lead in a big game. And look at Jimmy Butler.
What a moody game this was, too, because the Sixers looked like they were in control. And then Miami made their push. And suddenly looked like, are the Sixers going to be able to hold on? And they were able to, with a good finish to this game.
Kelly Oubre knocking down a big three, and then it's Maxey going to take it, and the Sixers are going to take a three-point lead. Final minute now. The Heat are down by five, but Terry Rozier not giving up.
Scary Terry is getting into a scary mode. He has been phenomenal of late, hitting 5 of 10 from downtown. That was one of them. Actually, 6 of 13. That was one of them.
Final 10 seconds. The Heat with a chance. Shot no good. And it's going the other way. In the end, it is Maxey holding on and the Sixers holding off the Heat. Embiid, 29 points. Maxey, 37 points. Don't look now, but here come the Sixers. They're 2-0 since Embiid returned from his injury. At this moment, they're 8th in the East. But do not look past them. With Embiid in the lineup this year, the Sixers are 28-8. That would be the second best record in the NBA, just slightly behind the Celtics. We have a lot more to say on the Sixers later in this hour, and we will do it. But first, let's get you to Cleveland, where tonight, as mentioned, the most anticipated women's Final Four ever. The action will begin at 7 o'clock Eastern time tonight. South Carolina, Dawn Staley's team has reached the Final Four undefeated for the second consecutive year. They take on the upstart in NC State, which began the season unranked in the AP poll. Meanwhile, the nightcap, UConn, back in the Final Four. They haven't won a title since 2016. They're led by Paige Beckers, who has stepped it up, averaging over 27 points a game since the start of the Big East tournament. But, of course, all eyes on Iowa. And Caitlin Clark looking to cement her legacy with a championship this weekend. She's averaging 32 points a game in the tournament and has everybody's attention. Here are Becker and Clark talking about each other.
But I think the biggest thing about her is she competes, and she's just a winner. She wants to win at all costs. So I know going into that, it'll be a great matchup.
It's not Paige versus Caitlin, and, you know, it takes the entire team to win a basketball game, and, you know, both of us are going to do everything we can.
All right, fair enough. So those are the stars we'll see on the floor tonight. Here are the stars we have ready to go this morning. Andrea Carter and Shania Gumbuke are there along with Elle Duncan. Their coverage of this has been so exceptional. And so, guys, while they don't want it to be seen as Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers, I think the world does look at it that way. Drea, I'll start with you. What does Caitlin Clark need to do tonight to get Iowa to the championship game?
Well, first of all, Greeny, you're absolutely right. The world views this as, think of the WNBA, Breanna Stewart versus Asia Wilson. Think of the NBA, Chet versus Wimby. That's how everybody sees it. And for Caitlin, I expect nothing less than an incredible performance. What did Caitlin do last time out? 41 points on 45% from the field and 45% from three. And it's not like she only took 10 threes. She took 20 threes and hit 9 of them. Any challenge that Caitlin has had in front of her, she has blasted through it. I'm expecting at least a 30 piece from Caitlin. Not to put pressure on her, but I don't think she feels pressure.
Andrea, what's crazy is right now we are on the floor in Cleveland. This is the Final Four. I've played here 3 times. Yeah. And what's wild is this is the biggest stage that as a college hooper you can ever dream of. Mm-hmm. And to her, this is like another walk in the park. I believe Caitlin will continue to show up, show out, but more importantly, she has to continue to get her teammates involved.
Yes.
Last time out, she accounted for 71% of Iowa's offense. She will have to do that again because they're going up against a Gino Auriemma squad that will scheme very well against her. So the needle, it's going to have to continue to be threaded tighter and tighter for her to be successful.
And that's the thing. What do we talk about, Janae? Caitlin's shot profile, threes, but also layups. Her shot chart has to have both, but it's the assists. Like, she didn't just have 41 points against LSU. She had 12 assists. Kate Martin, Sydney Alfalter, her teammates stepping up, playing with confidence, knocking down shots. I think Connecticut will do a better job trying to contain Caitlin and making her kick the ball.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right? Based off of what we saw from LSU, you can't do that again.
Yeah, there won't be a criminal game plan on UConn's side.
How about on the other side, Chiney? How about what Paige Beckers needs to get done tonight to get UConn to the championship game?
Look, this is a matchup where iron sharpens iron. I think people are really sleeping on Paige Beckers and how good she has been in the tournament. I want you to look at this graphic because we are celebrating Caitlin Clark for what she's been able to do. 32 points per game in the tournament. Paige is right there at 28. Look at their shooting splits. 58% shooting from two versus 56. 37% shooting from three versus 36. What I love is that Caitlin clearly does it with volume. She had 9 for 20 from threes. That's different. But Paige does it with efficiency. She has to play 1 through 4, and she's still putting up these numbers, Drea.
Yeah, and the versatility of Paige is what really amazes me. You know, we talk about Caitlin, threes and layups. With Paige, it's threes, layups, and
mid-range, everything
in between. Back to the basket, 1 foot turnarounds. The thing about Paige, as we're watching this and her numbers, she put up those numbers in a rock fight against Duke. Like, if we take that Duke game out of the equation, her numbers probably go a little higher. Duke's defense was absolutely brutal. They still found a way to win. My thing, Chiney, Paige has less margin for error. Paige has to be more efficient today than Caitlin if she wants to get a win.
And the most important stat that did not make that graphic is the minutes played. She played 40 minutes. She's going to have to play again the entire game because how many bodies does UConn have, Drea?
They really have like 7.
Yeah, basically.
Eight players.
It's wild that they're in the Final Four right now with a limited roster, but she's still putting up those huge numbers, Paige Beckers.
Greeny, listen, when you're watching the game, just take a quick second and look down Connecticut's bench.
Sweats.
You will see athletes ready to go, except they're in sweatsuits. Like, just look at the bench for a quick second
she
when you're watching the game.
You're going to see 60 points on the bench.
There's 60 points on the bench. They're missing so much talent, and they're still here. It's amazing.
Yeah. For anyone who's not followed it all season long, UConn has been decimated by injury and, again, still managed to get here because of the greatness of their superstar Paige Beckers and their legendary coach Gino Auriemma. The early game tonight, however, for all of the people who are new to the party, maybe have jumped in because of the Caitlin Clark, you know, mania, hype, whatever the case may be. In the early game tonight, you're going to see the best team, right? South Carolina, for the second consecutive year, goes in unbeaten. Drea, are they the favorites regardless of what happens in the late game tonight?
Yes, yes, yes. A million times yes. South Carolina, they still remain the favorites. They've had the best team all season. They've had the most complete team all season. And what were we just talking about with Connecticut lacking depth? South Carolina has depth on top of depth. If we're talking about looking at the bench, look along South Carolina's bench. They've got 5 starters for any other team ready to go and ready to come into the game. 6-7 on the inside. Their guards have to knock down shots. That's been the biggest thing that's kept games close for South Carolina. But this team, they've been the best team all season long. They've got the most weapons. They're still the favorite.
Look, this is South Carolina 2.0. And it's wild because if you think about historically what South Carolina's done, they played it, you know, well through defense. They also have great post players. This is literally post player university. Yeah. But where have they improved this year versus other years? It's their perimeter scoring. It's their offense. So they can beat you on the inside. They can beat you on the outside. And then they also have, like, a coach that kind of is a legend in Dawn Staley, where her players said, if she's not sweating, we're not sweating.
And so then we've got the matchups tonight. And look, let's face it, tonight feels like something of an inflection point for the sport. There has never been this level of attention and excitement surrounding this sport before. So with that thought in mind, I dug something up from the radio from 14 years ago that I wanted you guys to react to. So this was from April, this week, basically, of 2010. This was at a time when the UConn women had won three consecutive championships. And over the course of those 3 years, they had lost a total of one game. And anyone who remembers that time will remember that the conversation around the country was, is UConn's dominance actually bad for the sport? Because it felt like there was no drama. Well, the morning after they won that championship, Gino Auriemma came on Mike and Mike with us on the radio, and I asked him about that. And I think his answer, when you consider where we are today, was fascinating. Listen to what he said.
Obviously, it's not bad because Stanford almost beat us last night. I think the longer we do this, the closer teams are going to get to the level that we're at. And I don't see how that could be bad. There's a difference between someone setting the bar and making everyone else rise to that bar and us all coming down to a mediocre level and pretending that there's parity or whatever the case may be. So I'm hoping that it's good for the game that players realize how hard they have to work to be like Maya Moore and Tina Charles, and teams realize how hard they have to work to be as good as Connecticut was this year.
It was 14 years ago this week. Chinee, have we gotten to where he was talking about?
Why are you taking me down memory lane? That was my sister's Stanford squad. The year later, I would join Stanford. And the biggest goal for any team back then was knocking off UConn. So, yes, this is a little painful. This is a little traumatic for me because I watched my sister lose in that national championship. But he highlighted something very important for those fans who might be watching today but remember how basketball was 14 years ago. I feel old at the same time. The difference then is that the stars back 14 years ago were the teams. It was the UConns. It was the Stanfords, it was the Tennessees, it was the Baylors. The stars now are the players. And I think that shows that the game is in a very healthy place. We're talking about Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, even freshmen like Juju Watkins, Hannah Hidalgo. The list goes on and on. And I think that's why we love the game and where it is today. And that's what I've highlighted, you know, over the course of my career, knowing that, you know, we play for the legacy of moving the game forward, but also players are, you know, they're taking different decisions now. They're going to different schools. They want to be the star. And that creates a lot of different points of entry for teams.
Yeah, I think what Gino said is literally what we've seen. And it was so interesting to me. I'm like, you know, when there were men's teams, whether it was the NBA or men's college teams that were winning a ton, was anybody saying, is this bad for men's basketball? Probably not. I don't know, Greeny, you would have a better idea than me as the encyclopedia of sports for our company. But I don't understand how people thought it was bad for women's basketball. The standard is high. What was UConn supposed to do? Be like, you know what? You can get that recruit so it's more even. You can get this recruit. We don't want her because we want things to be fair in women's basketball. Absolutely not. They set the standard high. Coaches across the country had to figure out, how do we elevate so we can get these superstar players? Now the talent spread out and the competition is higher.
That 30-0 run in the men's March Madness, that was bad. Yeah. That was really bad for basketball, right?
UConn shouldn't have beat Illinois 30-0. They shouldn't have gone to a 30-0 run. It's bad for the game. Like, come on, be real. There's just no way.
There was only one time that conversation came up, and it was when KD joined the 73-win Warriors. But that's a whole other conversation. That's the beauty of the sport. You get involved in conversations like these. And I think what Gino was saying is, this sport doesn't get better because we get worse. The sport gets better because everyone else catches up. And that's what's happened. And that, more than anything, is why tonight is what tonight is. Guys, we'll be back to you in a few minutes. Thank you so much. It's going to be an awesome day. And, of course, you'll see Chinee and Drea all day long as we get set for tonight's Final Four. Meanwhile, we've got some football coming up next. No more joshing around. It's all on Allen in Buffalo. Our crew will tell you why the Bills may have just gotten better. Plus, process this. Are the Sixers the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East? One voice is going to say not so fast, and you'll hear why. We're getting up with you on a Friday on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more.
Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Get Up is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' The First Omen, rated R, now playing only in theaters. All right, the huge NFL news this week, the Stephon Diggs trade. He has been sent to the future now looking forward in Houston. According to Schefty, part of the blockbuster trade to acquire him from Buffalo, the Texans wiped out the final 3 years of his contract, giving him the ability to become a free agent after this season. He also got a raise for next year. He'll earn $22.5 million in guaranteed money. So where does that leave the Bills receiving corps? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here it is. They've added Curtis Samuel and Mac Hollins this offseason. They, along with Khalil Shakir, are the only ones that caught a pass last year in the NFL. So while this looks like an uncertain group, Kimberly Martin was here yesterday saying the standard remains the standard.
The expectation is winning a Super Bowl. Just because Josh Allen is Josh Allen and he's in Buffalo, I'm sorry, the rules don't change. So I get it that you and Dan think that we're being unfair. It's not about fairness. It's if you are eating up most of the pie, most of the responsibility now falls on you. Is that fair? No, but life is not fair, baby. That is reality.
So she said it as only she can, but the question is she right? Graziano is here, Mike T is here, and Dominique Foxworth. It's been too long. I'll start with you. Neek, is she right? Does the standard remain the standard in Buffalo? Is it a disappointment if this isn't a Super Bowl team?
I mean, I think she's partially right. I think the standard does not change. As long as you have a top of the league MVP caliber quarterback, the expectation is that you will have a shot at the Super Bowl. But where I disagree with her is where we start talking about how much of this responsibility falls on Josh Allen just because he's getting paid a lot of money, which is what he deserves. I think the responsibility falls on Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, which they showed us that they're capable of last year. I thought Sean McDermott and that coaching staff did a great job compensating for injuries and changing the whole offense midway through the season. So I do think that they need to draft well in order to continue to have success, and they need to coach up the players that they have. The guys that are on that team are talented enough to find out what's best for them. And the last thing is we don't have to look much further than the Chiefs for the example of this. If you look at those rosters, while we want to give all the credit to Patrick Mahomes and he deserves a lot of credit, we have to appreciate how often they hit in the draft, especially on defense, from Snead to McDuffie to Karloftis to Bolton and Creed Humphreys on offensive side of the ball. These are players that were early in their contract that were outplaying the money that they were getting paid. So the GM and the coach need to continue to do that to help Josh Allen and help this team compete.
Is he right?
Oh, he's absolutely right. There's no question about it. And if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, you're encouraged by the fact that your general manager and your head coach have shown the ability to be problem solvers, to handle the difficulties that come up in an offseason, during a season, fix things on the fly. But I do think there's some level of responsibility that Josh Allen can assume here if he wants. Like we talk about the Chiefs example. At the offseason after they traded away Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes made a point of, like, I have to play differently. I have to elevate my game in ways that maybe I didn't realize. I have to make sure and bring these new receivers along. So you can do that. You can go the Mahomes route, or you can go, you know, like the Aaron Rodgers route, right? Where they trade Devontae Adams and he kind of mopes through a whole season and then gets traded away the next offseason. So we've seen examples all across the spectrum of how the quarterback handles this inevitability. This okay, now that you're getting paid this money, other aspects of the roster, we have to go cheaper. So I think we'll see what Josh Allen has. It can be up to him. It doesn't have to be, but he can be a contributor to this, to making this a successful transition.
Well, and actually, Mike T, you made a fascinating point in our call this morning in which you said something I don't think anyone else has said, which is, there's a world in which this Bills receiver room winds up being in a better place. Take me through that.
Yeah, Greeny, I think it's very plausible. At 28, as you know, Greeny, there's going to be a really good receiver there. Let's call it Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. Maybe you go up a couple of spots to get him to make sure nobody else does. And then after June 1st, Greeny, go get Brandon Ayuk from the 49ers. You're going to get big cap relief from Tre'Davious White's money coming off the cap. Sign him to a big extension. Now, all of a sudden, this is a much more diverse passing offense led by Dalton Kincaid, who had 66 less targets last year than Stephon Diggs. Now, all of a sudden, you just don't double Stephon Diggs. And if you come out of this with Brandon Ayuk and Brian Thomas Jr., you're better. And by the way, there's other players like a Michael Thomas is out there, Odell Beckham. It's not ideal, but you can find wide receivers like we did on those Jet teams, like Braylon Edwards and Santonio Holmes. So right now, we're sitting here in April. I believe in this Buffalo Bill front office, and let's see how they execute their game plan. Nate.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea of using any of your draft capital to move up for a receiver or to trade to get Brandon Ayuk. Because the point that I made off of the top, while I went down that list of all of those Kansas City young players that played well, there's an equally long list of Kansas City draft picks that did not play well. So you need as many shots as you can, and don't assume that bringing in Brandon Ayuk, not that the 49ers would part with him, you'd probably be more likely to get them to come up off of Deebo Samuel than Brandon Ayuk at this stage. But I think that would be a mistake. Using your draft capital to move up a couple spots or to go get kind of a quick fix at receiver would be a mistake. Go ahead and draft as many players you can and hope you get some hits like the Chiefs did in the last couple seasons.
Quickly, Mike.
Greedy, this receiver they're going to draft is going to be about 11 years younger than Stephon Diggs. And when this receiver market gets reset by Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, amongst others, it's going to be a tremendous value. And that's why I think they were really smart to be proactive to get a second round pick for a really good player in Stephon Diggs, but clearly closer to the end of his career than the beginning.
Quick final thought.
Yeah, I think the interesting idea about the receivers being traded, we don't know if the Niners are going to trade Ayuk. Okay. We don't know if the Bengals are going to want to trade T. Higgins. I think Buffalo needs to find more than one receiver in the early rounds of this year's draft, and I think it's the right draft for them to do it.
Okay, we'll see what winds up happening. Again, that was a different way of looking at it right for the Bills. Later, we'll get to the bottom of, are they still the team to beat in the AFC East? Spoiler alert, I don't think so. Meanwhile, coming up, a big statement from the big man. We'll explain why last night might have changed everything in the NBA's East. Plus, is it possible the biggest star in the NFL draft won't be one of the quarterbacks? Is it possible they're overrated? You will hear Dominique's unique perspective as we continue. And we'll tell you who's really going to win the AFC East, by the way.
Oh, who could it be?
Spoiler alert. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much I know.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Bottom of the hour on a jam-packed Friday with Get Up. To the NBA we go. Let's run the floor. Alan Hahn, Jalen Brunson had 35 points last night. Knicks knock off the Kings. But the huge news, season-ending surgery coming for Julius Randle. What does that mean?
It means that the team that had the best chance to give the Celtics a puncher's chance in the conference finals is now not going to be able to do it. And so the East is wide open for the Celtics. They might as well call it the Boston Invitational at this point. There's no other team that can take them on. This Knicks team at full health had a chance.
I know it's a terrible shame. Austin Rivers is up with us early this morning. Austin, without Randle, what is the Knicks ceiling, do you think? What do you think they can still get done?
Well, I still think they can compete. You know, this is a team that still has a wide variety of guys who can play on both ends of the floor. But without Julius Randle, the ball could get a little sticky in the playoffs. They're going to shrink the floor in Jalen Brunson and make somebody else beat them. You got to hope Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, and some of these other guys, OG, who are all good shooters, not great shooters, make shots. DiVincenzo shot the ball well, but everybody else is kind of, you know, average at best from the three-point land. That game is going to shrink up, man. Yeah. They need Julius.
Really tough news for the Knicks yesterday. Although it was expected. Let me go to Golden State. They're one of the hottest teams in the league. They've won six consecutive games. Steph and Clay each had 29 as they knock off the Rockets. Austin Rivers, are we starting to believe a little in this Golden State team?
They've been up and down all year. The one thing we know is that playoff time comes. If they are matched up with a young team, if and when they're able to get out of the play-in tournament, if they match up with a seed like OKC or Minnesota, I think we all know that this team is fully capable of beating anybody with their playoff experience.
What do you think, Alan?
I just look at the fact that, while you give them great respect, they're in the post-dynasty era now where they're still a really good team that you have to respect. But they are 1-10 against the top three teams in the Western Conference this season. So no matter who they match up with, if they do get out of the play-in, they don't match up well against them. OKC, though, with their youth, probably is that one team you could say maybe they could overcome them.
And in the next order of business, right, we opened the show this morning showing you Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey playing together for the first time since late January. They combined for 66 points. The Sixers with an important win over the Heat, a team that they may very well wind up facing in the play-in. And I have been making a big deal on this show for the last week or so and on the radio. With a healthy Embiid, are the Sixers the biggest threat to the Celtics? Is this a team that could make the deep run? Is this the team that could shock the world and go to the finals? And Alan, I was reading your notes this morning. There's something that needs to be said, and you're just the man to say it.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it for the last 2 days that we've been talking about this, and I said to myself, wait a second. How can we expect Joel Embiid to do on one leg that he has yet to be able to do on two legs, which is get out of the second round of the Eastern Conference? For the last 5 years, that has been the hump he can't get over. Now he's going to do it on one good leg, playing on a knee that has a huge brace on it, getting himself into conditioning. As we know, at the end of the season, each year in the playoffs, you see him. He already looks tired in the playoffs. He looks tired now. Nothing's changed. So what has changed? Brett Brown, Ben Simmons. It was their fault. Okay, Doc Rivers and James Harden. It was their fault. Well, is it going to be Nick Nurse and Tyrese Maxey's fault? This time, what's the one common denominator? It has been Joel Embiid. He is a great player. He's an MVP. There's no question they're a better team with him. But we got to dial it back a little bit with this idea that the Sixers suddenly are the formidable team that can take on the Celtics in the East, when Joel Embiid has yet to prove that he can even get to the Eastern Conference.
It's a really interesting take. Austin Rivers, what do you think?
I actually agree. I like Philly as a team. They're obviously much, much better with Joel Embiid. He's an MVP-type player, right? This is a guy who's probably on his way to winning a second MVP, barring no injury. With that being said, when they were fully healthy, even when they had James in addition to this team last year, they weren't able to get over that hump versus a Boston team who looks like they're even more improved this year. So to expect them to go into the playoffs and make a huge run fresh off of an injury, I actually thought he should have stayed and came back next season fully healthy with all the cap space that they can come into this summer and add. I think next year will be a year we can maybe have that conversation in terms of serious contention. I don't know about right now, but there's nobody else in the East. I don't know who else.
Yeah, somebody's got to get
right
there.
Now, so that's my question. Who is it? Been,
yeah.
Yeah. Who's the biggest threat, Austin, right now?
We want it to be Milwaukee. Who is it? We want it to be Milwaukee. We want it to be Milwaukee, but we haven't seen it yet. They're never healthy, and when they are healthy, they haven't been consistent enough, especially on defense. They have zero perimeter defense. So right now, I don't know who that is. I mean, I guess we hope Miami makes another miraculous run and tests somebody. I don't really know. Not in the East.
No, is it? No, it's no one. Somebody's going to end up in the Eastern Conference Finals. We don't know who because we have to see how it all matches up with the seedings because that hasn't been decided yet. But whoever gets there, the only team that can beat the Celtics are the Celtics. We saw them last year. They play with their food. Yeah. They mess around in series. They do it this season even. They haven't gotten over that yet. They blow big leads. They aren't great down the stretch in games. Maybe they're just getting bored. But the one team that can beat Boston in the East is Boston. No one else.
Crystal ball. Before the finals, will they face a game six? Will someone take them to six games in the East?
I was going
to
say that. I don't think we'll see a seven at all. They might see a six once, all right, maybe.
We'll see. In the meantime, Austin, I have one more question, and I ask on behalf of America. Cindy, can you take that one shot of Austin Rivers for us, please, this morning? Is that a mural of you behind you that we're all looking at? And if so, is it as spectacular as I think it is?
I got it as a birthday gift for my fiance. She had... Unfortunately, I was a journeyman the last like 5 years of my career, so we had too many teams. I couldn't fit them all on this poster. But
where's the Knicks jersey?
Her best. Yeah.
Listen,
the Knicks didn't make the cut.
They didn't make the cut.
I wasn't there long enough. And the lucky DC's on there. I didn't want that on there either. I wanted Denver on there, but Makers can't be choosers.
Tell her when my birthday is, because that's an outstanding gift, and I would like one.
Different sport coats. All the different jackets
and pocket squares that I've had over the many years. All right, everyone stay where you are. Much more basketball as we go. But right now, let's do something a little unique.
Ready or not, tell them here I come. Ready or not, tell them here I come.
Look at me, handsome, fast, quick. Doesn't take much for me to, I'm modest, humble, you know. Doesn't take much for me to be confident.
All right, for today's unique perspective, Dominique, I was paying attention to that fancy podcast of yours, and I was listening to a conversation you were having about quarterbacks in the draft and how we're all making too big a deal about them and not a big enough deal about one other player. I want everyone to listen to this.
Marvin Harrison is so damn good and so potentially impactful as a player, I believe, that he could have the impact on a team that a number one quarterback could have. We always talk about winning a Super Bowl is easier when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal. I think that's true, but I also think it's pretty easy when you have a future Hall of Famer on a rookie deal and someone, a future Hall of Famer at a very important position.
All right, explain that a little further, Dominique. You're basically saying that these teams that we keep talking about, oh, they'll trade back so that someone can come up and get a quarterback, that they shouldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, first of all, the set is beautiful and the podcast is amazing. Everyone should watch it and download it, rate and review, all that stuff. But I do think that when you look at the history of the league, if you can get an all-time great player at a rookie price, then you're going to improve. I think back to like Randy Moss. The Vikings went from 9-7 to 15-1, and Dante Culpepper was balling because Randy Moss showed up. Another player that jumps to mind is J.J. Watt. They went from 6-10 to 10-6 because of J.J. Watt. But I think the perfect example of this is Von Miller. When Von Miller landed in Denver, they all of a sudden were an 8-8 team after winning, I think, just four games the year before. and eventually won the Super Bowl with, of course, a quarterback that was getting paid a lot of money and had a really big, impressive name, but couldn't throw the ball as well as we remember him in Peyton Manning. So I think that we over-appreciate how important it is to have a quarterback in the rookie deal when it's really most important, have a great player at a rookie deal. And I think it's obvious that as much as people like Malik Nabers and as much as people like a lot of other players in this draft, it seems obvious to me that there's one player in a very important position that stands out apart from the quarterbacks, and that's Marvin Harrison Jr. that I think you drop him on a roster and it is going to change your team immediately.
All right, it's a fascinating way of looking at it. So Mike T is a general manager in two different places. Let's use Arizona because I think that's the team everyone's talking about here, right? They're sitting there at number four. And if someone wants to trade up with the Cardinals to get, you know, one of the quarterbacks that is still sitting there, what do you do if you're them? How do you see it based upon what Nick just said?
Yeah, and Greeny, I'm going to use Neek's exact words from the last segment. I'm trading back. I want as many shots on goal as possible. So if I'm Arizona, it's an absolute no-brainer to go from 4 to 11 with Minnesota and the 23rd pick. I love Marvin Harrison. I've compared him to Larry Fitzgerald. But Rome Odunze, who I think is just like Terrell Owens from the University of Washington, because he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's tremendous after the catch. I think he's going to be really almost as great of a player as Marvin Harrison. And with the 23rd pick, Arizona, who has been decaying over the last couple of years, some say moribund, they could get another really good young player, which they desperately need. So I don't think the difference between Marvin Harrison and Rome Odunze is not worthy of the 23rd pick. And my reference to this, Greeny, is get up. Segment B, Dominic Foxworth.
There's the lawyer making his closing argument. Go ahead, Nate.
No, I think that's a fair point. But my reference would be, don't get too cute. When there are great players, draft them. Don't try to out-GM a situation. I'm going to get value. I'm going to move here. We're gonna do this. And he's just as good as this guy. That guy, no. There's a guy in the draft that we know that what he's done in college, what he has come from as far as his father. We know he knows how to play. We know that he is going to be a great impact on his league. I'm with you. If you get someone blows you away with an offer, that's fine. I'll take it. But I think the difference between Marvin Harrison and Rome Odunze is noticeable. I think that Rome can be a number one overall receiver in this league. I think Marvin is likely to be a future Hall of Famer. And if I get a chance at one of them, I'm not going to let my GM come into the room and start getting cute about trades. But we can get this guy. He's almost as good. Then we'll get an extra pick. No, get me the Hall of Famer. Put him on my roster. We'll figure it out after that.
I love the take. Let me come to you, the insider, on all of this. How about that? I mean, the Cardinals and the Chargers, 4 and 5, those are the two spots everyone seems to be looking at for a trade.
No doubt. And I think if they don't move out, the Cardinals, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. makes a ton of sense for them. Obviously, that would be. But I think Mike T's point is they need more than that. And his perspective, Mike T's perspective, is that of a general manager. And I think there's a perception in the league that wide receiver does not have the same kind of scarcity that quarterback has. So the answer to Dominique's point about it, he may be right. And if his evaluation of Marvin Harrison is correct, then his point makes sense. But the way teams look at it, well, I can get receivers. You can always get receivers. Quarterback is very difficult to find. So I have to take an extra chancy kind of chance to move up and get one.
All right, we'll come back to this. No,
I'd be wrong.
I'd be wrong,
but that's how they think.
We'll come back to this again, and I have a feeling we're going to get blasted on the podcast next time, but we'll get back to this as we continue. In the meantime, with Stephon Diggs gone, are Josh Allen and the Bills still the beasts of the AFC East, or is it Aaron's turn to take over? We're talking about that next. We're back on a Football Friday. Time for some overreactions with Dan Graziano. So, Graz, after the big deal the other day, if people said Stephon Diggs is going to be the best receiver on the Texans, is that an overreaction?
No, I don't think it's an overreaction. The Texans have a couple great young receivers in Nico Collins and Tank Dell, but Diggs is going to do, I think, fill a different role for them. And Given his track record, the likelihood that they're going to get a highly motivated player in what's now the final year of his contract, and his ability to run routes, I think he'll be their top receiver.
Okay, fair enough. So then let's talk more about that team, because they have a lot of receivers and the great young quarterback and all the additions. If I said the Texans are the best NFL team in the state of Texas, is that an overreaction?
Yes, it's an overreaction. The other team in Texas, we know, flops in the playoffs. We all know about that. But they have won 12 games each of the last 3 years. The Dallas Cowboys will still be a good team. And the Houston Texans, I think, look like they're going to be a good team. But let's see it. Progress is not always linear, Greeny. Like, we expect a big jump from the Texans, but we've seen teams go the other direction when we thought they were going to go forward. Think how confident we were a year ago that Jacksonville was clearly the best team in that division.
That's a very interesting take, and I'm glad you said that, because I don't agree with it, but I'm glad it was said. In the meantime, if we said the Bills, despite trading away Stephon Diggs, are still the team to beat in that division, is that an overreaction?
No, it's not an overreaction. They've won it 4 years in a row. I mean, they have shown an ability to do it. They were dead in the water midway through this past season. They still managed to recover, catch the Miami Dolphins, and make it as far as the second round of the playoffs. I'm a big one for you got to show me. For me to believe it. I think the Buffalo Bills have proven they can win. I think there's still plenty of good players left on that roster. I think it's a massive mistake to rule them out, especially over teams that we haven't seen do it yet.
Okay, so I've got to this just has to be said here, okay? I had to wait out Brady, right? I mean, 20 years of Brady in the division, I had to wait out. Then he goes, we get Josh Allen right away. Yeah. We can't have one down year in Buffalo. We can't have one rebuilding year in Buffalo. He still has to be the team to beat.
It happened.
Do you guys agree? Can we put the picks on the screen? I asked everybody, who's going to win the AFC East?
No, you're not going to like it.
Oh, my God. What? I need an intervention here. I need something to make this feel better. Alan Hahn, get over here.
What is going on here?
Exactly right. Hahn.
We can't cut. It's live. So never mind. Let's bring this in here.
Alan, come on.
Let's bring some sense to the conversation, please.
Talk to this ridiculously ill-informed group. Cindy, update the picks. I want the picks updated.
Add me, please.
Yes, please. Add Alan. That's it. Okay, much better.
Okay.
Now make your point.
A couple of things. First of all, ESPN Bet is even on this side now, as the Jets are now plus 225, right?
The Jets are the favorites.
Moving up. They're not the favorites, but moving up even closer.
We're getting closer.
It did not start that way, number one. Number two, even the football gods have to know that what happened four plays into last season you have to have redemption for that. Even
redemption.
The football gods believe that something like this have to happen.
Why they do it in the first place.
But overall, I understand the hesitancy to want to believe in the Jets. I get it. The history tells you that something always goes wrong.
Yeah.
But my good friend Rick DiPietro always says, winning is the best deodorant.
Right.
And so right now, we need to spray Axe all over this jersey.
All over
it. And make it smell really nice.
Right.
Winning will do that.
That's
right. Him being upright will do that.
Right.
The Jets win, he'll be MVP. If he plays like an MVP, the Jets will win. This division is theirs.
That's exactly right. And look, people can take all the shots they want at Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't bother him because we know he doesn't take shots. So that's not an issue whatsoever for Aaron. So that's not going to be a problem. Dominique Foxworth, talk to me. Why do you still have the Bills beating the loaded Jets, who have gone all in for one season when the Bills just traded away what might have been their second best player?
Yeah, because I think the Jets have a lot of proving to do, and they have a lot of older players that need to stay healthy. And if you're expecting Aaron Rodgers to play like an MVP, if that's what you need for them to have success, then you're going to be in trouble. So I think their roster is good. They're impressive. We want to see them actually do it. The difference between them and the Bills is what I saw the Bills coaching staff and the Bills players do last year in season. They were losing players left and right on defense. They were changing the way that they play on offense. And they still came back and got into the playoffs and played good enough to win a game in the playoffs against the eventual Super Bowl champions. That's the type of coaching. That's the type of adaptation. That's the type of commitment and execution and focus that we've seen from the Josh Allen, Sean McDermott-led Bills. We ain't seen that from the Jets. That defense has been really good in back-to-back seasons, and they haven't had much success as a team. So it's not that they can't do it. If Tyron Smith stays healthy, they'll be great. If Aaron Rodgers stays healthy and can play as well as he did 3 years ago, they'll be great. Those are ifs. I don't have ifs for the Bills. My if is Josh Allen going to be there? Yeah. Is Sean McDermott going to be there? Yeah. We good?
There are a lot of ifs. First of all, every team has injury concerns. Every team does. Who's the playmaker? Your quarterback. You have any other playmakers? No. Like, that's the big if is, will Josh Allen stay healthy this season? Because he's going to have to run the ball more than they told they don't want him to. He's going to have to do so much more for this team without real playmakers on that offense. Yeah, there's still more time. But look, they even Brandon Bean said,
I know,
we are
you're
not
right.
as good
right.
as we were last season. That roster is not the same. And we aren't even talking about a secondary that is not as good as it was.
Go ahead, Nate.
Fortunately, they don't have to play a game tomorrow. They will be as good when they actually have to start playing games. This is a front office and a staff that have earned our trust.
No,
and the answer to these ifs, we have answers to the ifs.
Yeah, if they make a trade for someone, that's an if too, Nate.
Right. If people get hurt, you know what the Bills do? They come up and rip off a winning streak and make the playoffs. If people get hurt for the Jets, you know what they did? They lost a bunch of games. So, like, I have answers to these ifs in Buffalo. I don't have answers for these ifs for the Jets.
Yeah, let me get Tannenbaum in here, Mike. And by the way, Nick, you fell right into our trap. The Jets are always at their best when they're not playing games. So don't you fell right into my trap there. This is my time of year. Don't mess around. Mike Tannenbaum, go.
Two quick points. One, sneaky big news, Greeny. Matt Milano played in 5 games last year. Von Miller had no sacks. Their defense will be better because those two players will be better. And then Alan mentioned ESPN bet. What are the odds that Aaron Rodgers, Mike Williams, and Tyron Smith play in 17 games each? Because if they do, I'm 100% in on the Jets. But I'd love to know what the odds are that those three players play the whole season.
Have I won you over?
Anything? No, nothing. I'm on Dominique Foxworth's side. That's why I subscribe to his podcast.
That's always a dangerous place to be. Okay. The mojo is coming back. Meanwhile, tonight is the big night that everyone is waiting for. We got Paige Beckers. We got Caitlin Clark. We got the most anticipated showdown maybe in the history of the sport. And then don't forget about unbeaten South Carolina. All that and more on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Yeah, Neek, that's right.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.